start that over, everybody. And that would be really bad for my team. We all make mistakes, everyone.
Call me out, you call me out of darkness. You silence every light. No other voice will defy me. I belong to you. I belong to you. You know the enemy can take what I am. The enemy can take what I am, change who I am. I belong to you. By your blood I've been adopted. I've taken on your name, and I need to be reminded that I belong to you. Oh, I belong to you. You know the enemy can take what I am, change who I am. I belong to you. You know the enemy can take what I am, change who I am. I belong to you. Greater are you than me, than he who's in the world. The words that you have spoken are stronger than the curse. Greater are you than me, than he who's in the world. The words that you have spoken are stronger than the curse. Stronger than the curse. What I am, change who I am, I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you.
How are you guys doing? All right, you can be seated. We are doing our kingdom focus, and this month, what we're focusing in on is some of our people that are being sent out of our church, folks that are stepping into ministry in different ways. And I am excited and proud to let you guys know that this last week our advisory team voted on adopting Bev as our missionary going to Honduras. That basically, what that means is, as she can raise support and she heads down to Honduras, she's been teaching the missionaries down there how to do Montessori classes in order to be able to teach the women and kids how to read and speak in Spanish. Now, obviously, they don't know how to speak in Spanish, but to read and write. And so she's been able to put a bunch of her stuff together to be able to train them in doing that and helping the missionary be able to reach the community down there in ways that hasn't been reached before. And so God's really put this burden on her heart. And if you guys ever hang around Bev, it doesn't take long before Montessori comes up. And so it just fits right inside of her giftings. And so what it means as far as her being a missionary with us, if you go on our website and you go to tithing or to the support giving, there's a list there that you can go through and decide who you want to give to, because there's different people that are raising some support and finances. And so you can actually give to Bev, and that will directly go towards paying for her some of her expenses to get to Honduras and going back and forth. So we're proud to be able to do that. And this month, as our tithes and offerings come in, 5% of our tithes and offerings will go to our sent people. And so, and we'll introduce more of them later. But Bev is literally going on a trip this Wednesday to Honduras with Sheila to go down there and help some of those folks down there. So we want to pray over her too as she goes, because heading to Honduras can be an adventure in itself, as some of you guys know, and getting out can be an adventure in itself too. So Bev, would you mind coming up here, and we will lay hands on you. And Tom, I'm going to ask you to come up here too, because Tom's going to be taking a trip down there to Honduras soon, and he knows the things that happen down there. So I want to have Tom come and pray on Bev. And and Naomi, why don't you lay hands on too? Naomi's kind of our other Spanish speaking that helps down in Honduras. And Jessica, where's Jessica? Is Jessica here? We want Jessica too. Where's Jessica? Is Jessica? Hi, Jessica. Would you mind come up here and laying hands on her too?
She's somewhere.
So, yeah, I want you to lay hands on Bev also. And and Tom, would you pray for her?
Sure. God, thank you so much for Bev and for her awesome heart. Thank you for how soft her heart is, how she's just able to feel and to cry and to really be empathetic and compassionate towards people and see a need. And I thank you for her vision in bringing Montessori to Honduras and seeing the need of teaching kids how to read, how to write, how to do all these things. And I just am so inspired by her and her willingness to just go all in and go multiple times and just make a way, even when it doesn't seem like there's a way. So I would pray that you would go before her, you'd send your Holy Spirit to Honduras to prepare the way for her, that there'd be divine appointments, mm-hmm. and you'd have all the things lined out, all the people she's supposed to meet, all the people she's supposed to talk to, that she would know that she's right there in the middle of your will, and that all the things that need to happen during this trip would happen, that it would just all fall into place. We pray that you'd rise up people in Honduras to take on the teaching, that she, her relationship with those people would just be mutually beneficial, and that it would really benefit both of them. That as she pours into people down there and teaches them how to do this work, that she'd also be filled up and inspired to do more. And we pray for all the people to come alongside of her to help her in creating this vision. We pray for the kids that she's going to be interacting with. And we pray that you would give her the ability to communicate to those children just through her eyes, through body language, through love, through caring. And we pray that you'd give Bev the ability to learn, supernaturally just learn more Spanish and understand more Spanish. Mm-hmm. We just pray that you'd have grace on her and that you'd give her the gift of language and the ability to continue to learn as she's down there. And yeah, just bless her in Jesus' name.
Jessica, would you mind praying in Spanish over her?
Amoroso Padre, te queremos dar las gracias por juntarnos este día y por darle esta oportunidad a Bev. Te pedimos que en el tiempo que se va, desde que se va de su casa al aeropuerto, que la proteges, que la tengas en tus brazos y que no la dejes, que no la dejes que se le olvide cuánto tú lo amas y que tú la has creado por una razón y que está en este mundo para hacer tus trabajos, lo que tú quieres que ella haga. Te pedimos que la protejas y que le des toda la felicidad que viene con hacer lo que tú le pides y que cuando regrese tenga todas las historias para compartir con sus amigos. Todo eso te lo pedimos en el nombre de tu Hijo Jesucristo. Amén.
Amen. Thank you guys very much. All right.
Goodness of God, I will see
the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes, Jesus, we thank you for your goodness this morning. I know sometimes, Father, it doesn't seem like it's there. And I pray that you would develop in us a heart of thanksgiving, a heart that recognizes the goodness despite our circumstances. And in a mighty way, you would build our life, Father, upon the solid rock, that your word, God, would be a force to be reckoned with, that it would transform our hearts. Our lives would be built up knowing that you care for us, knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you are kind, knowing that you are good. Knowing that your judgment is right, that your discipline is good. You would build our lives. That this town, the city, this valley would be transformed by the precious blood of Christ. That it would not be about the good things that we accomplish, but it would be about the blood that was spilled, that we would be reconciled to you. Give us hearts of peace, hearts that bring people together and not divide, that the enemy would have no place here today. That we could truly sing that you are worthy, worthy of every word, worthy of every song, worthy of every action, that we would be your hands and feet. Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever need, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, live for you, Jesus. Jesus, name above every other name. Yes, you are. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Who you are.
Jesus the name. Jesus the name above every other name. Jesus the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, live for you, oh, live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and feel me with your heart and lead me in the love you love. Beside you, open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and feel me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Yes, Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy. It's in the great and mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
right. You guys doing good? Yeah, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. So we are starting this series here in Inside Out. And last week I announced that there's some books up here, and you guys took a bunch of them, but there's still two left. So if you are going through pains and struggles or have in your life, because there's some of you that have never experienced that, right? Or you have a friend that's really struggling, and there's different things going on in your life, whether it's trauma, a loss, you name it, depression, frustration, all those different kinds of. I recommend grabbing one of these books, and it's a great little resource, and you can just have it for free, and be able to take advantage of that. So, just wanted to remind you of that stuff up there. We're gonna pray, and we're gonna jump right into this. Father God, we just come before you right now. Father, you know us. You know every part of us. And you know what kind of mess is inside. Our thought patterns, our emotions, the turmoil, the moments of joy, and also the moments of fear and struggle. And so, Father, we come before you, our God and our Creator, who loves us immensely. Lord, I ask that our thoughts would be on you, and that, Father, that we would be able to concentrate on your Spirit and what you would have to say to us, and that, Father, that we would cast out any voice that contradicts what it is that you're trying to communicate. Father God, we trust in you because of what your Son has done, so we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about fear, and as I was kind of putting some of the stuff together, the reality is as we begin to deal with some of the emotions that we deal with in our life, and how they affect our behavior and how they affect us spiritually, a good part of this is actually related to our EQ. Now, some of you guys may not have heard of EQ. By now, it's pretty popular, and that's our emotional intelligence. And so our EQ has to deal with how we think and how we feel, not only being able how we think and feel, but being able to recognize those emotions and being able to manage those emotions. And so that's one aspect of it is ourself, and the other is being able to recognize the emotions of others and being able to interact and deal with those emotions in a healthy manner with other people. So it's kind of those four aspects. It's dealing with basically understanding ourselves and keeping ourselves level, understanding other people, and being able to respond to them on a healthy level also. And so when we think about emotional intelligence, it's kind of funny because I don't know how many debates I've had in this room with other people about I'm sure that I'm the most awkward person there is, because being awkward is kind of comes really natural, you know. Just I don't know about you guys, but it seems like in conversations and things that we say, is there's always something that you say or do where it's like, okay, that was kind of awkward, and you kind of stare at each other a little bit and go, now what do? And then it just gets more awkward. You ever been there? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so anyways, I feel extremely awkward sometimes. So when we're talking about EQ, sometimes I think about just the awkwardness of life, and I go, yeah, I'm the last person to speak on EQ and trying to dig into this. But at the same time, being able to understand our emotions and being able to deal with them is huge in how not only we deal with other folks, but it's huge in our health and in our spiritual walk with Christ, and being able to manage those things, know what's going on. When we give vent to our emotions, when we don't recognize what's happening or what's triggering us, and we give vent to our emotions, that's usually when we sin. And I'll say that again. When we vent, when we don't recognize our emotions and we give vent to them, that's usually when we sin. Whether it's in fear, whether it's in anger, whether it's in sadness. To be honest, just about every emotion out there, when we give vent to our emotions, it's usually when we step into sin. Now, it's tough because we live in a society now that very much talks about we want people to be able to live out their emotions and not hide them. And there is some health in the reality that we shouldn't be hiding our emotions, because there are societies where it's frowned upon for you to share any kind of emotion, especially if it's like drama or something that is sad. You don't bring that up to other people. That's wrong and that's rude. And you're obviously not in control of yourself. And so there's societies of that nature. There's many societies that have suppressed emotions. And it's not a healthy thing. It's long term, it does a lot of damage. So there's a place of being able to realize, all right, I need to deal with my emotions, but there's also an understanding too that if I let vent of my emotions, that actually I can step into a place where I do damage to other people and I do damage to myself. And I'm actually not healing. And so I think there's a place in the midst of Scripture for us to actually begin to deal with some of these issues. And let's face it, I think a lot of times as believers, and if you dig into Scripture and all that bit, some of the physical concepts of Christianity are pretty obvious. Being able to love others, to serve them, to step out in faith and do things for other people, to be generous. These are aspects of our Christian walk that we know about, and it's pretty easy for us to grasp. I think when it comes to emotional side of things, it's a little bit more masked. It's a little harder for us to grasp. Okay, how does this affect me spiritually? So that's why I'm kind of excited to go through some of these things and start dealing with this. Since I talked about emotional intelligence, I want to read a chunk of scripture here to you that actually deals with Jesus's emotional intelligence. All right? So let's look over here in John chapter 19, verse 7. The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to the law, he must die because he claims to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." We read the crucifixion story. Now we know as Jesus goes from mockery trial to mockery trial to situations where he's accused of one thing and he's beat and so forth, as we see that, the passion of the Lord, we see a Jesus who is calm and collective, who doesn't lash out, doesn't defend, doesn't state things that where he could do so much. You know what I mean? You think about how quick he is with the Pharisees when Pharisees would pull up false teachings and he would put them in their place. He doesn't do that. We see something totally different. And part of it is because his eyes were fixed on what God had set before him in the obedience of going to the cross. His love is compelled for us in the midst of all these things that are going on. But if you think about it, standing in front of these guys, being accused, have you ever been accused? Have you been in a situation where somebody's like, "You did da da da"? What do we do? "Oh, yeah? Well, you don't understand. I only did da 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 because I meant something better." You ever do that? I mean, we defend ourselves, right? We jump right into it. It's like this trap. It's like, as soon as somebody accuses me, "Oh, yeah, I'll step right into that. That looks good." You know? And we just, and Jesus doesn't do it. There's also this element of fear. Pilate comes in, and Pilate's like, "Don't you get it? I can crucify you." And Jesus doesn't give in to the fear. He comes to a place where it's like, no, here's the truth. You have no authority over me other than what my Father gives to me. Does he have authority to crucify him? He does. Is Jesus worried about being crucified? He knows that's where he's going. But ultimately, he knows his God and his Father loves him more. It's okay. It doesn't matter. It's interesting when you think about this and you compare it to a chapter right before it, John chapter 18. This time it's Peter, verse 25. Well, Simon Peter was still there. Remember, Jesus is going from one trial to another, and he's being accused and all this stuff, and Peter's kind of following behind him. He says, meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing there warming himself. So they asked him, you are one of his disciples too, aren't you? He denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, didn't I see you with him in the garden? Again, Peter denied it. And in that moment, the rooster began to crow. Many of you guys know the story. Basically, the night that Jesus was brought and crucified, Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And this is when Jesus said, I would die for you. We see Peter and we see this man of extreme emotions quite often. And a lot of us can relate to that. Because we feel like, man, Peter says things when he shouldn't say things. He commits himself when he really doesn't follow through. And so many folks are like, oh, I can relate to Peter. Because we see his shortcomings. And I think many of us deal with that same struggle inside of our hearts, that we see there are shortcomings. And if you think about Peter's situation here, it's like, man, when I'm standing with Christ and everything's good, I'm golden. And now Jesus is on trial, and I'm not too sure what's going on, and I'm out here with a bunch of wackos that we're trying to figure out what's going on, and they're starting to accuse me of hanging out with Jesus. And it's like, I don't want to go through trial. I already stepped up once, and Jesus said, put away your sword. And so he's confused in the fear of the moment. And it's easy to defend oneself. Oh, no, that's not me. Say a quick lie. It's not a big deal. Three times he puts it through. Remember, part of it of emotional intelligence is knowing your own emotions, what's going on, and then how to respond to that. Part of emotional intelligence is knowing what's going on in other people and responding to that. I want to show you this kind of a cool incident here with Paul in Acts chapter 23. In Acts chapter 23, Paul is being accused himself, and he's the people of Jerusalem are wanting to do Paul in because of him going around and preaching to the Gentiles. So he's brought in and brought before all these guys that are pretty upset with him. Acts 23, verse 6. Then Paul, knowing that some of the men were Sadducees and some of them were Pharisees, called out to Sanhedrin, brethren, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand here on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees said that there is no resurrection, and there is neither angels nor spirit, but the Pharisees believe all of these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously, we find nothing wrong with this man, they said. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? Paul's pretty clever. And that's EQ. That's reading the crowd going, all right, this is a joke. I just get them fighting amongst themselves. You know? It's funny how being able to recognize the emotions of yourself, being able to recognize the emotions of others is key. Because even in recognizing the motions of others, sometimes we miss it. There's missed opportunities to be able to share the love of Christ when folks are going through hard times or they're struggling because we don't see what's happening. So it's really important. I bring all this up because when we talk about emotional intelligence, when we talk about our emotions, some of us have this tendency to go, well, this is kind of like modern science. This is kind of like this. This is not like the Bible. And it's like, no, it's the Bible because it deals with people and we're people. The things are here. And so we can come back to this and go, no, there's things in this. And sometimes we have to stop and think about what's happening for us to be able to make the connections. Because I'm sure many of you guys have read through those stories before and never thought about EQ. But the reality is that's what's happening in the stories, is how people are noticing their emotions and they're managing their emotions or they're managing the emotions of others and recognizing what's going on. In these situations, if you think about it, all of them kind of have to deal with fear. They're all put in this place where basically their life is on the line. And fear is a huge emotion that we deal with on a regular basis. Fear is one of those things that can tear us apart. So look over here in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. And Jesus tells us this. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body and afterwards can do nothing more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I'm going to refrain from making a hair joke. Is that a hair joke in itself? Maybe it is. I don't know. Go down to verse 11 here. He says, when you are brought before the Sanhedrin, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Jesus is talking about fear and putting your fear in the right spot. We deal with fear on a regular basis. Fear is a motivator. I don't know if you guys realize that. Fear keeps us from doing bad things. Right? I don't run my truck into a tree because I'm afraid of what it'll do to my truck and to me. Does that make sense? Fear keeps me from doing that. It keeps me diligent. I'm paying attention. So fear can have a healthy place in our life in the sense that fear can actually help us to stay away from things that would do us harm. But a lot of times where fear gets us wrong or messed up in our life is when we have fear over things that actually don't have that authority. When we begin to fear things that we should not fear. Because then what's happening is we've stepped into a realm where we are no longer trusting God, we're no longer trusting His love and His sovereignty in our life. And it becomes a lack of faith. It becomes to be honest, there's things that we can be fearful of all the time. You know, if you think about it, it often grabs us and holds us in so many different ways. Look over here, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. It says, the next day the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias the high priest was there. And so was John and Alexander and the other high priests. This is the group of rulers that crucified Christ. Okay? And this is only a couple months later. So this is a group of rulers that crucified Christ. Verse 7. They had Peter and John brought before them, and began to question him. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called in account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. This man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. It's not just being with Jesus, because Peter was with Jesus when he denied him 3 times. There's something totally different that has happened here to Peter. This is only a couple months later. He's not standing around a fire anymore trying to hide his identity. He's out in the courts preaching Jesus' name. And the rulers don't like it. We just got rid of Jesus, and now you're going around preaching this guy's name. You got to shut up. And this time he stands up, filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference happening here. Jesus said, don't fear when you go before the synagogues and before the rulers, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. This is the fulfillment of what Christ said. And what's really crazy about it is this. You have the Holy Spirit if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Often many of us worry about stepping on the toes of the Holy Spirit, quenching the fire, denying him to work in our life. And yet we don't think about the fact that when I give in to fear, that's exactly what I'm doing. See, the reality is the Holy Spirit works out fear in our life, because what the Holy Spirit does is it reminds us of who we're loved by. Jesus, when he answered Pilate, he knew that Pilate had authority over him, but he also knew that God is the one who did it and gave that authority to him. So his confidence is in the love of God, not in the authority of Pilate. Of being able to come to a place and go, wait a minute, I'm struggling, and here's one of the issues that I got is when I begin to recognize that I have fear, I have to go, okay, why? Is this a fear that actually helps me from doing something stupid? Or is this a fear that actually I'm not trusting? Is this a fear that I'm giving in and I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to remind me that I am loved? And not only am I loved, I am seen and I am protected and I am under the hand of God. Amen. And whatever happens to me is in His hands. So nothing can separate me from the love of God, right? So when we begin to realize, hey, this is what's going on, this is where I have to grasp this and actually bring it back under control, to realize that God's got something for me, and it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we begin to really take notice of this, when we think about these things, I don't know about you guys, but you ever do with anxiety? Right? How about this one? 1 Peter chapter 5. Many of you guys deal with this. It says, humble yourself there under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. When I think about anxiety, I don't necessarily think about fear. A lot of times I think about anxiety because the term free-floating anxiety. Have you guys ever heard that one? In other words, free-floating anxiety is like when you're walking through the room and all of a sudden, you don't even know why, but all of a sudden you're anxious. It's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? You get all tore up inside and it's like, I don't even know what's going on, but I'm anxious. You know? They call it free-floating anxiety. And to me, it's like free-floating. It's like, what did I just walk through a cloud of anxiety that's out here somewhere? That's like this, you know, cosmic waste that's just floating around. I don't get this, you know? I grew up, and next to our house were these giant cottonwood trees. And in the springtime, the cottonwoods would bloom and open up. And you guys ever go out where there's cottonwoods and you walk around and there's like things floating everywhere? You just they make a mess, you know. And it's like my dad hated them, and they're just everywhere. These little cottonwood things that are floating all over the place. That's what I think of a free floating anxiety. I bring this up because of this. I think anxiety is like the seed of fear. Because what we do is we kind of go along, and I don't know about you guys, but almost hourly sometimes, there is a little bit of anxiety that comes my way. Something runs through my head. Whether it's my health, whether it's my finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's, there's always something that comes along, and you kind of go, and what we do is like we pluck it and go, ooh, here it is. Now, then we take that little seed and then we plant it in the ground. And then we water it, because how we water it is we give it time and we concentrate on it. And as soon as we begin to concentrate on it, that little bit of anxiety turns into a full-blown fear. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And what I do is I begin to think about something I can't control. You ever have that problem? How much time do we waste literally on giving thought and concentrating on something that we have absolutely no power over? That's the birth of fear. See, what's really cool about this is cast all your anxieties upon him. He's literally telling you, don't even give birth into fear. These little things are going to come your way. You're not going to avoid it. Somehow there's even clouds of it floating out there. We don't know why. You're going to walk into anxiety. You're going to encounter these little moments of going, oh, what if? And you got to take that and go, no. That's not in my control. That's not in my hands. That is not what we're going to deal with. Being able to put it to the side. See, the first part of this emotional intelligence is recognizing what you're feeling. And so when you can stop and go, I'm starting to feel anxious about this, or realize you are beginning to recognize the birth of fear. And being able to stop that process. Take a breath. Be able to step back. I'll give you a couple more verses here quickly as my time is running out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as this world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we set up strongholds with our emotions. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Recognize the emotion. And then the second step is to take captive. Take a breath. Go, wait a minute, I know what that is. And I'm not going to let it control me. I recognize that anxiety, I recognize that fear, that anger, and I'm not going to let it control me. I take captive every thought. Like I say, sometimes these strongholds that we put in there, it's not just the sin that we keep doing. Sometimes these strongholds are thoughts that we've let into our brains that we think are realities. These thoughts that we've let into our brains that we now look at everybody else differently because now we're dealing with anger or now we're dealing with frustration or jealousy or envy or whatever it is that has captivated us so much that it's changed our emotions that we don't even see in love anymore. And the biggest part of it is we don't see love given to us. Being able to take captive those thoughts and go, wait a minute. Man, here's a great activity right here. When a thought comes in, especially when it comes with fear, it's like, can I control this? If the answer is no, you go, God, this is yours. I'm out. Peace out. This is your problem. It bothers me a little bit, but it's your problem. All right? I can't change my circumstances. I can't change what's going on. I'm not in control of my future. This is your problem. And you got to let it be his problem, not yours. One last verse. We'll go over here to 1 John chapter 4. He says, and so we know, and rely, verse 16, I'm sorry. For so we know and rely on the love of God for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And God in them. This is how we love, or this is how love is made complete amongst us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to deal with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Got that? Man, you want to conquer fear in your life? You want to conquer anxiety in your life? Saturate your mind with the love of God. When you begin to realize that God's got you, that he is the one who loves you, and everything that comes through his hands is come in order to train you and mold you and shape you. Does that mean hard things are not going to happen? Oh, no, hard things are going to happen. I guarantee it. Because, man, when the hard things happen, that's actually where it does the work on our soul. Changes our character. Changes the way that we think and process. And so God lets these things go in there and we wrestle with them. And sometimes it is really hard and sometimes it is traumatic, and I get that. But God is doing it so that he can work out something that is so much more precious in you. And if your faith is refined, if you can stand there and go, no, regardless, I believe those that have the greatest faith are not those that are healed, but those that actually live in the pain and the misery of their life, but still trust in God. Just as Christ, he knew he's going to be crucified, but his trust is in God. Do not let fear conquer you. I say that to myself too. Because this is a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And it happens constantly. Father God, as we come before you right now, Lord, I ask that you would give us the spirit of peace. That we would be confident in you. That, Father God, it would not be us earning your love, but Father, that we have your love. There's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation, and that includes your love for us. We are your children. We are your creation. And so, Lord, we want to surrender to you and to your power and to your authority and to your wisdom. That, Father, that you would give us strength. That, Father, you would remind us to take captive every thought. That we would do battle against it, that, Lord, we would recognize our own emotions and that we would tame them. Tame them in a way that we can handle them properly, in a way that honors you and shows love to other people. That, Father, we'd be able to realize that there is times for us to cry and mourn, and that is okay, but there is also times for us to be able to lump it and be able to say, okay, God, you got this. And I don't know how, but I'm going to do my darndest just to trust. And so, Father God, I just ask that you would help each individual here to walk in that. And Lord, if there are those that don't know you, that are not your children, Father, I ask that you would begin to bring something to the surface, a reality that they don't have the confidence of your love, and that, Father, that you would begin to lead them down the path of realizing that it is only through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are saved. And so, Lord, we give it all to you in Jesus' name.
My words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I offer. Every song I sing, and you never knew. So I throw my hand, praise you again and again. All that I have is just one view with my arms stretched wide. I will worship you. So I throw my hands, praise you again and again. All that I have is an all in. For a king, except for hearts singing alleluia, alleluia. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. And come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion in blood of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. And come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion in blood of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have.
is an alleluia. Alleluia. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king. Except for hearts singing alleluia, alleluia. I know it's not much, Jesus. There's nothing else that is fit. King such as you. Thank you, Jesus, that when we run to you, that you crush the fear, you crush the anxiety that we feel, that we deal with, and that you give us hearts of gratitude, praise. It's in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Wow, that's a tall microphone.
It really is.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah, I was a real problem as a kid in Sunday school because I had weird thoughts, and I still have weird thoughts during sermons. And now I don't blurt them out during the sermon. But when Mark was talking about the hair joke, God knowing the number of hairs on your head, my first thought was like, well, most of my hair migrated south down my back. I wonder if God knows how many hairs there are on my back. So I was having a very serious conversation with God about that. So anyway, very important stuff. Anyway, we've got even more important stuff, Middle Earth. If you don't know what Middle Earth is, I don't think you probably are going to come to the Middle Earth Day. But for those of you who do know, yes, it's a Lord of the Rings party. Middle Earth, I've tried to explain it to my kids. I've read my kids the Chronicles of Narnia. They totally got it. They loved it. I was like, well, now you're really going to love Lord of the Rings. We're going to read that. We got about 175 pages in, and finally they're like, Dad, what is going on? Like, I don't even know who any of these people are. Like, why? It's like 2.5 pages to describe, like, some guy's house, you know? Like, and then you're totally lost. Like, what were we talking about again? I love it. I read it all the time, and I'm very torn. The Middle Earth Party is Saturday, October 26th, with it's also the opening of hunting season. And I'm trying to think of a way that I could both hunt and come to Middle Earth, like maybe hunt the morning in the tree stand, Middle Earth, post-hunt. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, you got to get signed up. There's a QR code there. If you didn't get a text this morning reminding you about church today and with a link to sign up for the Middle Earth Party, that means that you're not signed up for Flocknote. And Flocknote is how we notify people of everything that's going on with our church, every activity. And all you got to do is text 842, you text Missoula, the word Missoula, sorry, almost did it backwards, to the number 84576. Super easy. That way you are informed all the time, everything we're doing, like small groups, forge groups, special events, and the church services. So anyway, you want to get signed up for that, and it makes it a lot easier because then you just get a link. For instance, our next thing coming up is Trail Crew, where we help people in our community or in our church work on projects, service projects, construction projects, and we're going to be at the Emery's house. That's Abel and Hannah. They just had the baby. They just got a new house. It needs some work. They're hiding back in the corner over there. So you want to help them out. It's hard to do construction when you have a baby. I tried to get a nursery done, you know, and then had a baby. It's very difficult. So next Saturday, October 19th, 9 a.m., are we meeting here or are we meeting on site?
No, the
This is the guy.
What will happen is, through Flocknote, you'll be notified.
Yeah.
A reminder of what Saturday is going to entail, and that will include the address.
Yes. Awesome.
And what time.
Yeah. All the good stuff. So you definitely need to once again sign up for Flocknote. Mr. John is the guy to talk to about Trail Crew. We've done so many projects in so many different people's houses and homes and helped in so many different ways, and you will really enjoy it, and you'll feel like you did something on a Saturday. And then what's provided? Food? Lunch is provided. I thought he said money for a second. Cool. Lunch is provided. Okay, next thing we've got is we've got our prayer requests. And last week we prayed for Janice Seeley, who's a missionary in Germany, who had a stroke, and she was completely paralyzed. And in the last week, she's gone from being completely quadriplegic to be, or paralyzed completely on one side, excuse me, to being able to walk with a walker. So we want to pray for her again, and because she can keep recovering movement potentially for months. And we want her to be as functional as possible. And then we're going to pray. We already did have Bev and Sheila up here. So, yeah, each week we're going to be doing prayer requests. You can jot them down in your journal or put them on your phone in a note and try to pray for these guys every day. And we also want to pray for Catracho Missions. And that is the organization we go down and work alongside of in Honduras. And they are doing so many different projects and have their hands in so many different communities, but they are always in need of prayer. They're on the front lines going to places that no one else goes, trying to plant churches in places nobody else is planting churches. And we weren't even able to go to the original site last year because they were having a feud. One of the guys I had a chance to share the gospel with last year was killed, like, a few weeks after I shared the gospel with him. Like, it's, they're under attack in that whole area. So that whole area and the Catracho Missions needs prayer. Like, their equipment and their motorcycle truck thing was totally vandalized and ruined this last year. A lot of people in that community don't want them doing what they are doing. So if you guys could be in prayer for Catracho, we'll send up a quick prayer for Janice and Catracho, and then we'll have a great week. So, God, we want to pray again for Janice Seeley over in Germany and the work that she's doing, and we believe that you are healing her, that you're touching her body and giving her more function in her limbs and helping her to be able to walk, and we pray that you continue to do a greater and greater miracle, that the doctors would see her progress and believe that you're working in her life and that she'd be able to do everything that you've called her to do, and that we just get more reports of her progress. And we also thank you so much for everything that Paul and Tanya are doing with the Catracho Missions in Honduras, in the communities of Grenadilla and Tintel. And we pray that you would protect them, that you would send your warring angels, that you would just create a hedge of protection around them from an attack, from both a spiritual attack and a physical attack, from people vandalizing their property, from that you protect them from the danger of being hurt or even killed. And we pray for Bev and Sheila as they go there, that you would also extend your protection over them, and that you would have your way in those communities. And we pray that everybody here would have a great week, and you'd remind us of these prayer requests throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, have a great week.